Our first reading is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied. "So be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. I invite you to stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. From Mark chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. He said to them, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power." After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your holy scriptures, your ancient word and your word of truth. And we ask now, Lord, that you would send your spirit to take this word and plant it deep within us and cause it to grow up in us and bear fruit in our lives. Lord, speak to us. And by your word, by your spirit, change us, free us, and bring us into all that you created and redeemed us to be, that your life in us would show forth through us for your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. So we have two stories that we've just heard that are unique. And maybe in listening to them, you think, yeah, so what does that really have to do with us now? This transfiguration. The story is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke with just slight variations, a few extra details that we hear about in Luke. But this was kind of a one-time event. And there's so many questions about what exactly was going on. Why are they up on the mountain? Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. Well, in Luke's version of this, he brings them up there to pray. They're going to seek God together. Now, we hear about that another time when the night that Jesus is betrayed, when he takes them into the garden and they're falling asleep. Well, what we actually hear about in Luke's version of the Transfiguration is, yeah, their eyes get pretty heavy with sleep too. But when they start to come to, they realize there's Moses and Elijah. So I want you to just think a little bit. Why are Moses and Elijah there with Jesus? Now, it might be that Moses represents the law and Elijah represents the prophets, and Jesus says that all of Scripture and the law and the prophets point to him, and so maybe that's the reason why those two are there. Or maybe it's because there's something kind of unique about the way Moses and Elijah left life in this world. We don't hear much detail about Moses' death, but we do know this. Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 34, says that when Moses died, God himself buried him, and no one knew where his grave was. Moses was a pretty major figure. He had led the people through the Exodus, through the wilderness for 40 years, and he dies and no one knows where his grave is? Makes you just kind of wonder. Well, then we've heard a little bit about the story of Elijah. He doesn't actually die. He's taken up in a whirlwind. In fact, if we were to continue on in the 2 Kings reading, the company of prophets that are over on the other side of the river, they see this happening. And when Elisha comes back over to their side, they're like, oh, you know what? We've got some really good people. We can send them out, and they can search the mountainside because maybe that whirlwind took his body and dumped it somewhere up in the mountains. Let's go look. And Elisha's like, nah, don't do that. And they keep on, and he finally says, all right, go ahead and go. And they search and they don't find him. So why were Moses and Elijah there with Jesus as he takes his closest companions up to the mountain to pray? Well, we can go back a few verses And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this story follows the same teaching that Jesus has begun to explain to his disciples, and he's begun to speak clearly that he is going to go to Jerusalem and he is going to be put to death. And he's going to rise again. And he's explained to them that he's going to be rejected and it's going to be painful. And he also tells his disciples that if they want to come after him, well, they'll end up experiencing great hardships as well. But he tells them it's worth it. If anyone would save their life, they'll lose it. If they lose their life for my sake, they'll find it. That's the teaching that he gives. And then we hear that he said to them, truly, some of you standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power. You know that all of Jesus' disciples, other than John, experienced death as a result of being disciples? They faced not just rejection and persecution, they actually experienced martyrdom, as Jesus did. The words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when Jesus calls a man, he bids him come and die and find life in following the one who is life. Now you got to remember, Jesus is fully God, but he is fully human. And he goes up to pray as he has been telling his disciples what he's going to go through. And Peter, of course, has said, oh, Lord, this must never happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You're only thinking in human terms. See, Jesus faced discouragement. And Jesus needed to be strengthened by the presence of God and the promises of God for himself. And he invites his disciples, three of his closest ones, to come up with him. And what we hear in Luke's version of this story is that Moses and Elijah are talking with Jesus about Jesus' departure. That's how most translations, most of our English translations say. But if you look at your little footnotes in your Bible, there's usually a little star, a little indication that the word in Greek there is they're talking with Jesus about his exodus. These two men who had served God in their time and faced difficult times in serving God and then had come to the end of their earthly life, now stand with Jesus on this mountain, and Jesus is being transformed and encouraged, and his kingdom is getting revealed to his closest followers. And Peter says, Rabbi, it's good to be here. Let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. This is the line that really grabbed me. He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. You know, I heard a quote the other day. Some people have something to say, and some people just say something. This seems to be one of those cases. He doesn't know quite what to say, but, you know, as is often the case with Peter, he just blurts things out, sometimes to great, Jesus, when he blurts out, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, you know, Jesus affirms for him and says, yeah, you've got that revelation straight from God. And sometimes Jesus says, yeah, just be quiet. This would have been one of those times. Don't just do something. Stand there. Let yourself be awed by this presence and revelation, the glory of God being glimpsed. I think Peter wanted to hold on to the moment. Let's erect these booths. Or maybe it's that Peter's trying to put things together as he understands them back in Zechariah. It talks about when the day of the Lord comes and all of the nations will come and they will celebrate the festival of booths, Sukkot, together. And so maybe that's what Peter is thinking. Oh, this is what this is. Well, he is seeing a glimpse of the kingdom. And this kingdom will affect and draw all nations. But this moment isn't complete. And this moment, as significant and real as it is going to pass. A cloud appeared and covered them or surrounded them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Is that a disappointment? No. What we really need to see is Jesus. His glory revealed. His glory still present, even though no longer so obvious. They got to hear the voice of God identifying who Jesus is. You know, what Jesus is going to go through is going to look like defeat from a human perspective. It's going to look like ministry failure. It's not going to look like what they expect for Messiah. It's going to look like God's rejected him. And what they think they understand, what the world will think it understands, we'll completely miss it. Because the truth is, Jesus, the Son of God, loved by God, is willing to suffer out of his great love for the world that rejects him. As they're coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And they kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. Now, why was that so confusing? You know, in Bible study this week, Bruce pointed out, they'd seen people being raised from the dead before. Some of them had gotten to be part of those miracles. And they have just seen Moses and Elijah alive and talking with Jesus. Jesus has said he's going to die and he will really die, but he won't stay dead. Now, this messes with our natural minds, and it ought to. Because God's got so much more for us than just the natural reasoning and the natural ways of this world. And we get to rejoice that the victory is God's, no matter what it looks like at any particular point. They got a revelation. They got a glimpse of this glory that leaves them in some level of awe and some level of confusion. That's a place of humbleness. And that's where all of us need to be. Remembering not to live just by our own wisdom. Because God's got resources and God's got ways and God has plans that move so far beyond just the natural ways of the world. And we're invited to live in and from that kingdom. And so we have to come back to this place of awe before God and humbleness in our understanding. In our reading from 2 Kings, Elisha has several years back been anointed by Elijah to take his place eventually as the leader of the prophets. Elijah has several schools of the prophets where he's taught others to hear from God. And they can. In fact, on this day where Elijah is going to be taken up to heaven, several of these prophets are saying, "Hey, Elisha, you know what's happening today?" It's because God's revealed to them. Elisha knows he's heard from God. These other prophets have heard from God. And Elisha, in his love for Elijah, wants to continue on with Elijah until the last possible moment. Maybe to learn and to glean as much as he can from his teacher. Maybe just out of his love. For whatever reason, as they're walking along, Elijah asks, "What can I do for you?" And Elisha asks for a double portion of the spirit that has been on Elijah. And Elijah says, "You've asked a difficult thing." In fact, in asking Elijah for it, he kind of missed it. Because that wasn't Elijah's to give. The gift of the Spirit is the gift of God. But he says this: "If you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be yours." And then suddenly, the whirlwind comes, and the chariot of fire and horses of fire appear and separate the two of them. And Elisha cries out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel." In all of that going on, all this awe and this wonder and this pain and confusion and grief, Elisha goes up in the whirlwind. I want you to just notice that. Doesn't say he went up in the chariot. It says he went up in the whirlwind. But Elisha has kept his eye on his master and his teacher. And then he saw him no more. And he took hold of his garment, his own garment, and he tore it into. It's a sign of grief. He feels like he's just lost everything. But this mantle, the prophetic mantle that had been on Elijah, has fallen to the ground. And he picks it up and does with it what he had seen his teacher do. Calls out to God and strikes the water. And the same spirit that had been on Elijah is on Elisha. Do you know that in the stories that continue on about Elisha, there are exactly double the number of miracles attributed to Elisha's ministry as to Elijah's? Because it wasn't really about Elijah, and it's not really about Elisha. It's about a God of glory and power who longs to bless the world and will work through his people who recognize who he is and will give him opportunity to use them for his glory. The Father says of Jesus, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Keep your eye on him. And let his life come grow up inside you. Because there is a world out there that needs the light and the love and the glory of Jesus revealed and released. And the Lord is willing to rest on you and reveal himself through you. So listen to him, keep your eyes on him, and let him do what he can do. Amen.